We began a study last week called Building Your House. Yep. Building Your House. And I'm not talking about a physical house that somebody lives in with a roof and ceilings and walls and, you know, a garden around it and that sort of thing. We're not talking about a physical house. We're talking today about building your spiritual house. We're talking about building your spiritual life. And let me ask you this question today in review of last week. Who is our spiritual foundation upon which we build a spiritual house?
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ. Paul the Apostle writes in 1 Corinthians 3:11 that Jesus Christ is the foundation. And then in Ephesians 2 verses 19 through 22, he says that Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. And, you know, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord, you know, at one point in your life, if you said, Jesus, I put my faith in you, Jesus, be my Savior, then guess what? Jesus Christ became the foundation, the spiritual foundation for your life. You agree?
Amen.
Now think about a home builder who builds homes. Home builder who builds homes. You know, if he buys a piece of property and he lays a concrete foundation, it does him no good. It profits him nothing if he does not build a structure on top of that foundation. Would you agree?
Yeah.
He's not going to be able to sell that piece of property and that foundation without a structure on top of it. If he wants to make a profit, if he wants to sell the property, what does he have to do on top of the foundation? He's got to build a house, a structure. And it's the same way spiritually, friends. God is wanting you and I to go forward. He's wanting us to profit spiritually. He's wanting us to abound in our spiritual lives. But for us to abound and go forward spiritually, we have got to build our spiritual house, our spiritual life upon the foundation called Jesus Christ. And last week, we talked about the nail with which we build this spiritual house. The nail with which we build this spiritual house is what? The Bible, the B-I-B-L-E. And Paul the Apostle writes in Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ, the entire Bible, the word, dwell in you richly. In other words, the Bible has got to take up residence on the inside of you. It's got to dwell in your heart, in your spirit, right down here. And how does it dwell in you? By reading it, by studying it, by thinking about what you read, taking notes on the scriptures that you read. And how does it dwell in you richly or abundantly? It dwells in you richly and abundantly by reading it consistently, by studying the Word of God on a daily basis. Not once every so often, not once every blue moon, but studying the Word of God, reading the Word of God on a daily basis, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. And if you do that and get into the Word of God consistently, it will take up residence on the inside of you richly. You know, the Word of God will help you become more Christ-like, more godly. It'll become, it'll help you become like Jesus Christ, who is the sinless one. Amen? It'll help us live holy lives. And today I want to talk on the series, the study called Building Your House. I want to talk about consulting the builder. Consulting the builder. That's the subtopic today. And, you know, if you were to build a house, a physical house, if you bought a piece of property and you hired a home builder, a contractor, and he lays the foundation, what will you do with that home builder? You're going to consult with him, right? On how to best build a house. You're going to ask him what is the best concrete to lay for a good foundation, right? You're going to ask him what best type of wood there is to put on the outside of the house. In other words, he would tell you to use cedar, rough sawn cedar, instead of masonite. It's a much better wood. It's a much better product, right? You know, you might ask him what kind of product you would use to build up gardens around the house, and he might tell you to use boulders and stones instead of railroad ties, because railroad ties will eventually rot. So what are you doing with that home builder if you ever decided to build a house? You're consulting with him. Why do you consult with him? So that you could build the best possible structure. Is that making sense? So today I'm talking about consulting with the master builder, the Spirit of the living God. Consulting with the master builder in order to build your spiritual house, your spiritual life. And friends, you may be facing a question in your life right now, like, you know, which school should I go to? Which ministry should I be involved with? Who should I marry? What career should I take on? You know, who should I hire for a certain project? What is it, God, that you're wanting me to do? And, you know, a lot of people, when they face questions in life like this, big questions, and even smaller questions, the first thing they do is they go to their finite human minds. And I think that, you know, a person might say, I think this is the best school to go to. Or this is the best person to hire. Or this is the best person to marry. Or this is the best course of action to take. And all they're doing is consulting their finite human minds. And that's all a person's mind is finite. What does that mean? It is limited. Friends, we as human beings can only see so far ahead. So far ahead. And, you know, if you just consult your own mind on what to do next, guess what? You're going to end up doing just a good thing, an average thing. Who should we be consulting instead of our own limited minds? We should be consulting whom? The Spirit of God. We should be consulting God, because God is infinite in wisdom, in knowledge. He sees your life all the way to the very end. And if you consult the Spirit of the living God on questions in your life, on decisions, on moves you are to make, guess what? You won't end up doing the good thing. You'll end up doing the God thing. Friend, and in my life, I want to do the God thing, not the good thing. Because the good thing is the enemy of the God thing. Is that making sense? Say it with me today. I want to do the God thing with my life, not just the good thing. In Jesus' name. So in order to do the God thing with your life, you have got to consult the master builder, God Himself. And when you consult God, when you're asking God a question, when you pose a situation to God, what are you doing in essence? When you consult God about a question in your life, about a move that you need to make, you're praying to God. And that's what prayer is. Prayer is communication with God. It's, how many here have a best friend in flesh and bone? Some guy, some girl, okay? And you talk to that person on a consistent basis, right? You pour out your heart to this person. You laugh with this person when this person is in, you know, had something good happen in their life, and you cry with this person, and this person is maybe a best friend of yours. Well, guess what? God, the master builder, wants to be your best friend. He wants you to talk to Him just like you talk to your best friend in flesh and bone. He wants you to communicate with Him. He wants you to pose your questions, you know, the decisions you need to make, the move you need to make. Just pose it. Just present it to God and say, God, this is what I'm facing in my life. Do I marry this person? You know, do I go to this school? Do I move to this city? Do I buy this house? Do I rent an apartment in this apartment community? And so you're praying to God, and I guarantee you, friend, if you pray to God, you communicate with God, guess what? I guarantee you that God will what? He'll communicate back. He will respond. And somebody once said, it seems that God does nothing except someone prays. It seems that God does nothing except someone prays. And so when you pray to God, you communicate to God, you pose your question to God, God will do something. He will respond. He will answer. So the question today is this: how does God answer our questions? How does He respond to our situations that we're facing? How does He respond? One of the ways God responds is by the Holy Spirit, His Holy Spirit speaking to your human spirit. You know, you've got your human spirit dwells on the inside of you. Would you agree? And God's Holy Spirit wants to communicate to your human spirit. Turn to Romans 8. Let's look at verse 9. Romans 8, verse 9. This is what Paul the Apostle writes. Romans 8, verse 9. You got it. From the NIV. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. And if the Spirit of God lives in you, if the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. How many here belong to Christ? How many here have Jesus Christ as Savior? What does that mean then to you? According to Romans 8:9. It means that you have the Spirit of Christ dwelling on the inside of you. Now let's jump down to verse 14 in Romans 8. Verse 14. Those that are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. How many sons and daughters of God are there in this place today? How many here are a son and a daughter of God? Then that means you are to be led by whom? By the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God communicating to your human spirit. And you know, God will, His Spirit will give you hints and clues as to what He's wanting you to do. He will speak to your spirit. Let me say it again. The Spirit of God will give you clues and hints as to what He's wanting you to do. He will speak to your human spirit. The question is this: are you listening? Are you perceptive to hear what the Spirit of God is speaking to you? If you listen to the infinite Spirit of God, it will save you time, it will save you energy, it will save you money, it will save you in so many ways. It will make your life more efficient. A lot easier. Okay, I'm gonna share a personal story in my life. Last week, my air conditioner, I own a piece of property here in Tulsa, my air conditioner wasn't really working and it was blowing out hot air. And it was really bothering me because it was a really hot week last week. You agree? And so I called a certain person over to come look at my unit, and he went up on the roof and looked at my AC units. He did a few things to it, changed out a part on the unit and put some Freon in there, and it just wasn't working. And so he told me that the compressor was probably bad. How many here know that AC units have compressors in them? All right. He said that the compressor was probably bad, and he was giving me all these stories. I'd probably have to replace the AC unit. Talking $1,400, $1,500, $1,600 to do that. That's a chunk of change, right? All right, so I wanted to get another opinion. So I had another guy the day after come and look at my AC unit up on the roof. He got up there and he looked at it, did his little test, and said, you know what? He said, the compressor is bad. You've got to change the AC units. And he wanted 85% of the money down before he even did the work. And that really bothered me on the inside. It made me jump on the inside when he did that. So I was really bothered about this all week, so I started calling larger air conditioning companies here in Tulsa just to do my research, well-known companies. I was checking them out on the BBB, the Better Business Bureau, right? And so anyway, in the process of working on that last week, I got several calls back from several different people, and a well-reputed company in Tulsa talked to me, and they basically said, Jonathan, why don't you deal with one of our top technicians? They didn't say that to me. They just had him call me pretty much, and this guy's name was David. So David called me, and they were giving him the job as a side job to me. So he called me. I talked with him. A couple of days later, I talked to him again, and I was like, man, God, whom should I choose to work on this AC unit? If I don't need to replace it, I'll be saving a bunch of money, you know, $1,400 to $1,500. So I was just going back and forth and back and forth and trying to figure it out with my mind. But when you try to figure it out with your own mind, guess what? You're going to get stuck. You're not going to make the God move. You're going to make only the good move. Is that making sense?
Yep.
So guess what? On Saturday morning, I happened to be at McDonald's close by to my house. I was at McDonald's, and remember, this top-level technician's name was David. So I was at McDonald's on Saturday morning. I was having to meet another person there, a potential employee. And so I'm asking people, is your name Tim? This potential employee's name was Tim. And the guy, I asked one guy, and he said, no, my name is not Tim, my name is David. So I was like, wow, David, okay? Another guy walks right by me, and he looks like a former client of mine whose name is also David. And I looked at him real close, and I thought, no, it's not David. It's not that David, but it looks like David. All right? I kid you not. 10 minutes later, in the drive-through lane, this former client named David was in his car ordering something. I was like, oh my goodness, David, David, David. What was the Spirit of God trying to hint to me?
David, the man.
Call David the air conditioning man, the top level technician. And I called him. He showed up at my house about 12 noon on Saturday. He did all his tests on my inside unit, got up on the roof and looked at the unit on the top of the roof. And friend, I kid you not, he did his test with his diagnostic tools, and he said, Jonathan, there's nothing wrong with your compressor. It's working. He got the thing working within about 15 to 20 minutes, and it's working fine today.
Oh, wow.
Praise God. It saved me like $1,400 to $1,500. That's awesome, isn't it?
Amen.
What was the Spirit of God trying to tell me at McDonald's? David, David, David. He was trying to tell me, call David the top level AC technician, right? And I obeyed the Spirit of God. And because I obeyed the Spirit of God, I did the God thing and it saved me resources.
Right.
And if the Spirit of God can lead God and direct me in that way, friend, He can do the same for you.
Amen.
You've got to take hints and clues from the Spirit of God.
Amen.
You've got to take those hints and those clues and allow the Spirit of God to speak to you and say,
right,
this is what I'm wanting you to do.
Amen.
And if you do it, friend, I'm telling you, it'll make your life more efficient.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, listening, hearing the voice of God, listening to the Spirit of God is half the battle to doing what God wants you to do. What's the other half of the puzzle? Listening to the Spirit of God is half the puzzle to doing what God wants you to do. What is the other half of the puzzle?
Being obedient.
Being obedient. Actually doing what God is telling you to do. Taking action upon what God is telling you to do in your spirit. Is that making sense?
Yes.
So listening to the Spirit of God. Now, if you've got a question for God, if you're facing an issue in your life like I was with my air conditioner, and God is saying, yes, this is what I want you to do, how will you feel on the inside in your spirit? You'll have a peace inside your spirit. God is saying, yes, this is the way I want you to go. But if God is saying no, if God is giving you the red light and saying, stop, this is not the way I want you to go, guess what? You won't have any peace on the inside. You'll only have what? You'll only have turmoil. You'll have a lack of peace deep down on the inside. Does that make sense? So if God is giving you the green light, He's telling you, go, this is what I want you to do, what will you have on the inside?
Peace.
If God is saying no, He's giving you the red light, this is not what I want you to do, how will you feel on the inside?
Turmoil.
You'll have no peace. Obey the Spirit of the living God. And you know, remember that second man that I was dealing with, the one who came up on the roof and said that the compressor was broken?
Uh-huh.
He says, I'll change out your compressor, your condenser, your unit tomorrow morning, but I need like $900 down. And I jumped. It's like, wow. I had like a check in my spirit, a lack of peace. And I really believe that had I given him a check, that I would have lost my money. And I followed that in my spirit. It was like God was giving me the red light. Don't give that man 85% down. Don't give him $900. And I didn't do it. And it saved my tail pretty much. And friends, God can do the same for you. If He did it for me, I'm a human being just like you. God can do it for you as well. Amen?
Amen?
So one of the ways in which God will answer your petitions, your requests, is how? Is by His Holy Spirit speaking to your human spirit. That's right. Another way, many times, that God will speak to you, we talked about this last week, is in Psalm 119, verse 105. Let's turn to Psalm 119. Verse 105. What does it say? What does the psalmist write? He got it. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. In other words, the word of God does what in the dark areas of our life? It brings light to the dark areas in your life. It brings clarity to the confusion in your life. In other words, the Word of God will speak to you concerning your situation. But in order for the Word of God to speak to you concerning your situation, you've got to have the Word of God where? You can't have the Bible just sitting up on the shelf, gaining, you know, collecting dust, right? You've got to have this Word of God in you, dwelling richly on the inside of you. And how does it dwell richly on the inside of you? By reading it. With your eyes, thinking about what you read, taking notes on what you read, and letting it settle into your spirit so that when the situation arises, when the question arises, when you're needing to make a certain move in your life, the word that you have richly stored deep down on the inside of you will just pop out of your spirit and speak to you. Does it make sense?
Yes.
Makes sense. So say somebody offends you. Says something demeaning about you, belittles you, does something that doesn't sit quite right with you, and offends you. You're like, man, I can't believe he said that about me. I can't believe she did that to me. And you want to retaliate. That's the first natural human reaction when somebody offends another human being, is to do what? Is to retaliate, get revenge, right? But then you remember the word richly stored up on the inside of you. Ephesians chapter 4. The last part of Ephesians chapter 4.
You must have been in that.
Forgive others just as God in Christ forgave you. And it pops up out of your spirit. Oh, you know what? God's word just spoke to me. This person offended me, but God's word says to forgive them. Is that making sense? And there's so many areas in your life that God's word will speak to you. How many here get impatient sometimes? Impatience. How many of us deal with that? What does God's word talk about in Galatians 5? One of the fruit of the Spirit, which is patience. So if you ever get impatient, remember God's word says, be more patient. Work on your patience, being able to wait when you don't want to wait, when it's hot outside.
On Sunday at Salvation Army.
Did it?
I got into it with a guy over, because he was trying to save a seat for somebody.
Uh-huh.
And we got a little argument, which is then we had a disagreement, but I ended up, my mom was telling me, well, God, this, it was on Sunday, God was telling me what I meant, so I apologized to him.
So letting the Word of God speak to your situation, right? And finally, friend, God can sometimes speak to you, answer your question through another human being that you respect. A minister, a relative, somebody you've got a relationship with. Amen? All right, so consulting the master builder, consulting the Spirit of the living God when you're facing a question. And when God responds to your situation and you obey what God is telling you to do, it builds that confidence that you have in God, in Christ. And it helps build your spiritual house. You start thinking, man, God is good. He's really looking after me. He's really got my back. And it helps build your spiritual life. Amen?